Good to see everybody. Everybody excited? Hallelujah, that's what we like. We like excitement in the house. Hallelujah, I think God likes excitement too. You know, I just can't see God as being a dull, dreary sort of a God. I think he's excited. You know, he looks and he sees creation. He's excited. Amen. How many are his creation? Yeah. We're all his creation, right? And he gets excited about us. You know, if we could understand his excitement, we wouldn't stay down in the dumps so long. You know, if we could just grasp God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. We're going to be in the book of Ezra. We're continuing in the book of Ezra. How many have been reading the book of Ezra? How many have been reading their Bible? Okay, there's an Ezra reader. That's good. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to be in Ezra. First Chronicles, Second Chronicles, Ezra. Chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 8. Everybody there? Would you stand with me for reading God's word? Just a couple verses. Now in the second year they're coming onto the house of God at Jerusalem. In the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of the brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Joshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel, and his sons and the sons of Judah together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endures forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We shout with a great shout, Lord God. The foundation's laid, Lord God. God, we just thank you for your word, Father. And God, as we look into your word, Father, God, take us deep, Father. God, just let us connect, Father, with you, Father. And God, with each one of us, where we are, Father, God, may we just look into your word, Father, and you speak through your word to us, Father. And God, we just thank you for it. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Come in. This is your service, God. Have your way. And let your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. So we see that the people of Israel, the people of Judah, were in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. Somebody say that's a long time.
Well,
70 years.
Yeah.
And 70 years, through that 70 years of captivity and the Exodus, we talked about that being the second Exodus, and the Exodus showed God's mercy and his grace. All through captivity, there was mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is withholding what we deserve. How many are thankful for God's mercy?
Amen.
And grace, he brought them out. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. And he brought them out. He didn't bring them out empty-handed. Come on. He brought them out with all the provision. Brought them out with silver, gold, and everything they needed to rebuild the temple. Hallelujah. And the first group that came out. Remember, they went into captivity in three groups. They come out in three groups. The first group that came out was under the leadership of Zerubbabel, or Zerubbabel, however you want to pronounce it. And their purpose was to rebuild the temple. Now understand that Jerusalem had been devastated, had been burned, everything destroyed, everything tore down. And so they were coming back after 70 years in captivity. Now, understand that a lot of the people that came back, they had been born in captivity. And so Cyrus, the king, said, anybody that wants to come back can come back. And he pronounced a blessing on them as they came back to rebuild the temple of God. And so we saw that out of all the people that were there, there was just a remnant, because a lot of the people had been killed off, but there was a remnant left, and out of that remnant came a remnant. And so there was about 42,000 that came out, and then there was another 7,000 of servants. And so there was almost 50,000 people that came out of Babylon in the first group under Zerubbabel. And their main goal, their focus, was to rebuild the temple. And it was to rebuild the temple for worship. How many know that's a very important thing? Mm-hmm. Worship. Hallelujah. And we looked at, I'm just going to try to bring you up to speed. Maybe some of you have been here, some of you haven't been here. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul, speaking to believers at Corinth, he said, know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And we also see that in John 2:19, Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. What was he talking about? He was talking about his body. He said, this is the temple. And Paul said, don't you know? Don't you understand that you are the temple of the living God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now that should be reason for excitement. Come on. Think of it. Almighty God, ruler of everything, creator, judge, ruler of everything, thinks enough of us to create us. I believe he created every person to be a dwelling place. Now we can choose whether we want God to dwell in us or not. But I believe, and God says before babies are formed in the womb, he said, I knew them. It's like, here's these babies, and they're not even a thought yet. And God says, you're my dwelling place. You're my dwelling place. Now think about it. That's prophetic. So we see that Paul considered the people to be the temple of God. And so as we look at this rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem as the physical temple, we look at our bodies as temples of God. So we see that there was 70 years in captivity. They came out, and so they come out to rebuild the temple. And so now we look at our temples, spiritual temples, come on, Every born-again believer is a spiritual temple of God. Hallelujah. And we all come out of captivity. Come on.
Yeah.
We were all slaves to sin. We were all held captive by the devil. A lot of us didn't know it. We thought we was in control. Come on. Mm-hmm. And then we saw the light. Because what we were in darkness. And then we saw the light. Hallelujah. And the light of the world is Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there's times that we feel like our temple has been run over by a freight train. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. You know, we ask Jesus to forgive us our sins, be Lord of our lives, because we recognize we're a mess. You know, most people come to the Lord because they know they're a mess. Not many people come because they're so good. Come on, let's be honest. So we not only need a Savior, but we need our lives put back together. Don't know about you guys, but I find that to be true. We need to rebuild the temple. You know, if we say we get saved, we're born again, our temple's a mess, need some work done, right? So, say we backslide, we get back into sin, and then we come back to God. Guess what? Once again, needs to be some rebuilding in that temple. Amen? Hallelujah. When the unexpected happens, how many have ever had unexpected things happen? Tragedy, sickness, loss of a loved one, marriages in disarray. And we've just been overwhelmed. How many has ever been there? All our hopes, plans, and dreams just shattered. We need to rebuild the temple. And God's always there for us. He's always saying, come back. Come back. I'll help you. I'll help you.
Yes.
And if God be for us, come on, who can be against us?
Amen.
So we come back to rebuild the temple. And there's also just the normal growth of a Christian. You know, we go from glory to glory. And so we see that as we seek God, He shows us areas in our lives that we thought was okay. And God says, do you want okay or do you want my best? How many want to settle for okay? How many want God's best? I don't know about you, I want His best. Hallelujah. How many ever heard of Watchman Nee? Well, he was a Chinese pastor. He's a writer. And sent him to prison for 15 years. As a matter of fact, he died in prison in 1973. But he just had such revelation of God's Word. He just sought God continually seeking God. And God would just give him revelation of His Word. So if you ever get a chance to read any of his books or writings, read it. Here's what he said. The Bible compares man to the temple. In doing so, it depicts the three elements of man most easily seen. And we know that the temple, the physical temple back there, was divided into three parts. The first part is the outer court, which everyone can see, and which everyone, into which everyone can go. All outward worship is offered to God here. Further in, there is the holy place. Here, only the priests can enter. In the holy place, the priests offer the blood, the oil, the incense, and the bread to God. Although they are very close, they are not the closest because they are still outside the veil and cannot enter into God's presence. God dwells in the Holy of Holies, from which he radiates his infinite glory. The Holy of Holies is otherwise dark. No one can come before him, although the high priest is allowed once a year to enter the Holy of Holies. This only demonstrates all the more that before the rending of the veil, there was no one within the veil. And he said, man is the temple of God. Within man there are also three parts. The body is the outer court. It's outside. And its life is seen by all. It's here that man should obey all God's commandments. It's also here that God's Son died for man. Further in, there's man's soul, which is the inward life in man. It includes man's feelings, his emotions, will, and mind. This is the holy place to the regenerated one. His love, thoughts, and desires are all in here. In this place, there is much light. Everything is clear and obvious. And the priests come in and out to serve God. However, further in, there is the Holy of Holies behind the veil, which is unreachable by human light and is a place invisible to the human eyes. This is the secret place of the Most High. Remember Psalms 91:1? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How many ever heard that chorus? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Psalm 91:1. It's the habitation of God, a place that no man can reach unless God removes the veil. This is the human spirit. Man not only has a body and soul, but a spirit as well. This spirit is deeper than man's consciousness. It is the place unreachable by man's feelings. It is in this place that man fellowships with God. In the Holy of Holies, there is no light, for this is God's habitation. In the holy place, there is light, because there is a lampstand with seven branches. In the outer court, everything's exposed under the sun. This is the picture of a regenerated person. His spirit is like the Holy of Holies where God dwells. This place is entered by faith and is totally dark. This is a place which the believer cannot see, feel, or understand. The soul is like the holy place where there's much power of understanding, many thoughts, much knowledge, and many rules where one comprehends both the things in the psychological world and the things in the physical world. In this place, there is the shining of the lampstand. The body is the outer court. It's seen by all. All its activities and living are visible to everyone. Watchman Nee. Lot in that. We know God's a God of order. And so in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not soul and spirit and body, nor is it body and soul and spirit. Rather, it's spirit, soul, and body. So we see that's God's wisdom in how he has ordered. We see how the Holy of Holy, the holy place, and the outer court correspond with the order and the degree of importance of the spirit, soul, and body. He goes on to say, the work of the temple revolves around the revelation in the Holy of Holies. All the action in the outer court and the holy place are determined by the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. The holiest place within the temple and the place which all other places are subject to and depend on is the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies, there does not seem to be much work. It's very dark. All the activities are in the holy place. All the works in the outer court are controlled by the priests in the holy place. Indeed, the Holy of Holies is a quiet and still place. Yet all the activities of the holy place are directed by the inspiration of the Holy of Holies. That's where we want to go tonight. We want to get into that Holy of Holies. We want to get into the very presence of God. How many have that longing, that desire to just commune with God in that holy place, to know his mind, to know his thoughts, to know his desires, to be able just to see him face to face. So God's order is the spirit, soul, and body. In Ezra 3, 2 and 3, we saw that they came to rebuild the temple. And the first thing God said was, rebuild the altar. And so they rebuilt the altar. So worship was established. So worship manifests in our human spirit where God dwells. See, a lot of times we want to worship in the body or the outer court. Or we want to worship from the holy place. But we don't want to take the time to go into the Holy of Holies, into our spirit, and worship with our spirit. Just to get lost, just to get beyond these other two things. Get beyond our bodies, you know, what the flesh wants, come on. And get beyond our emotions, our thoughts. Just get beyond that stuff and just get spirit to spirit. That's spirit and truth. When we get to that place, hallelujah. Worship is relational. Now think about it. When we get into worship, worship is relational. It is not only our communion with God, it is also his communion with us. Worship flows both ways. God wants to be with me, and I want to be with God. See, a lot of times we think we want to be with God. But God also wants to be with us. The Hebrew word for worship is S-H-A-H-A. It means to bow low or to prostrate oneself. Worship involves our bowing low before the Lord, not only physically, but in our hearts. The Greek word for worship is proskuneo. This word means to kiss the hand of one who is revered. Listening For God to speak is one of the most dynamic dimensions of worship. Think about just what I said about worship. Worship is relational. Not only do we want God, but God wants us. It's a time of getting beyond stuff. Whatever would hold us back, just get beyond that. Knowing that it's like he's here saying, come on, come into my presence. Spend time with me. See, a lot of times we say, well, the clock says, you know. And God says, who controls the clock? God says, 1,000 years is like a day with me. Won't you spend the day with me all 1,000 years? And then we get to that place and we don't want to leave. But God's saying, listen. Listen. It's like when we pray. We now let your request be known to God. And so we pray. But how much time do we spend listening to what God says? That's part of worship. Just to listen for God. Hallelujah. And in Chapter 3, verse 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. David had set the praisers in order. And so, once again, they are setting. I thought they had built in the temple. Yeah. First they built the altar. Now they set the praisers in order. How many, when they do something, they have an agenda and they just want to do it? I think we all do that. Sometimes we miss God because we don't listen. And so they set the praisers in. Remember, praise came before the work. The Psalms, you know the Hebrew title of the Psalms? You know what it is? Praise. Yet praise is a theme that pervades the whole Scripture. It's all through Scripture, praise. Genesis 1 is indirect praise. Direct praise is found in hymns scattered throughout the book of Exodus, 2 Samuel, Isaiah, Daniel, Ephesians, Revelation. See, a lot of words that are synonymous with praise are bless, exalt, extol, glorify, magnify, thank, and confess. To praise God is to call attention to His glory. So when we praise Him, we're just praising God. We're calling attention to His glory. Praising God is God appointed. God says that in Isaiah, that they may proclaim my praise. God's called his church to praise his glorious grace. How many have ever sung the doxology? Doxologies are fitting because they capture what God intends for people. Now here's the doxology that most people sing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. So God's intention is to bless his people. Right? So we're just magnifying, extolling, glorifying because of what he wants for us to bless his people. Praise him, all creatures here below. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye him, you heavenly host, all the heavens, all the angels, praise the Lord, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Just give him glory. Just praise him. Just magnify his name. You want rocks to start crying out for you? You want some stone to take your place? Give him glory. Give him praise. Hallelujah. And in 3:10, it says that, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord. So here they are. They set the praisers up. The musicians was there to praise the Lord. And now they're laying the foundation for the temple. How many know how important a foundation is? How many have ever seen something crumble or fall because the foundation gave way? I think it was in China that there was this high-rise built, and it was like a low-income high-rise, and it was built, and a storm came, and it just laid that thing right over because the foundation wasn't properly laid. A good foundation is the guarantor of a good future. How many want a good future? Yeah, we want a good future. Anything that is based on goodness reflects goodness in the long run. Just like a child that's received proper guidance, mental strength, and education in the starting of his life can be sure of a successful life ahead. A building which has less been constructed on a sound base will also be able to stand through a number of future weathering and calamities. Hence, the importance of a good foundation is applicable to all situations. You know, it's important. No matter what you're building. If you're building a relationship, you need a foundation. You need to build that on something. You know, if... say you're going into marriage. You need a foundation. And there's one foundation that you need, and that's Jesus Christ. If you're raising kids, you need a foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, how many know we're to be doers of the word, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So Jesus is saying that you need to build your temple, build your life on the rock. And we know the rock is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you build on the sand, what's the sand? Well, that's our own ideas. That's the world's ideas. If we build on that and the storms come, how many know storms come? It's something like hide and seek. Ready or not, here I come. So, storms are coming. Are we ready for the storms that are coming? So they laid the foundation. And we need to. Everything we build on needs to be built on a foundation. A good foundation. Right? Because there are spiritual storms that are coming. There are physical storms that are coming. There are financial storms that are coming. There are relational storms that are coming. And if you're not built, if you're not grounded on the rock, Jesus Christ, the storm will just devastate. It's bad enough when you have Jesus Christ. But we know we can stand. Amen. And the wise man is the believer whose life is built on the rock of Christ. And the foundation is Jesus' words, not just hearing them, but doing them too. You know, it's nice to hear the words, but unless you apply them, not going to do you much good. As a matter of fact, if we hear the words and we don't do them, the Bible says we deceive ourselves. We think, well, that was good, but we didn't apply them. We need to apply them. How many people take notes on these sermons? How many check them out? How many go into the Word of God and find out, is this the Word of God? Come on! You know, I encourage everybody, go into the Word of God and let God speak to you. You know, it's one thing to do the hour Sunday morning, but how about taking that word, and if you find out, if you prove that this is God, what are you doing with it? Because God will speak to everybody possibly in a different way. Because everybody is going through different stuff in their life. Everybody's been through different stuff. And so the Word of God, you know, affects people in different ways. But God will always speak to us through His Word what we're going through. If we just take His Word and say, God, I believe that's Your Word, and I'm going to apply it. Now sometimes We might say, well, how do I apply it? And God says, that's just what I'm waiting for. I'm glad you asked. But if you focus, if you study on this word, you know, do this all week, see what happens. Say, God, I believe it's your word, and God, I'm going to apply it. God says his word will never return void, but it'll accomplish what where he sends it to. The word of God. Ezra 3:11. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout. You know there's power in the shout. And all the people shouted, here they are praising. Now, I don't know how long it took them to lay this foundation. It probably wasn't call to enterprise and just have a ready mix come. And just put it in there. It was all by hand. And so here's the people praising. Here's the people worshiping. See, everybody has a part. Now, can you imagine the presence of God in that place? Here they are. They are coming to rebuild the temple of God. And the temple represented the dwelling place of God. And so they were excited. They were praising. Now understand, when we come and our temple's in disarray, our temple's a disaster. How many ever found themselves in that place? Yeah, we're a mess. Understand that praise is an important part. When you're going through it, and you know, it seems like the enemy comes in like a flood, and he wants to take us to Babylon, wants to take us into captivity, and you know, we understand that, hey, finally, sometimes it takes a while to get out of that and come back to God, and first thing we do, we repent, right? Because God, we didn't trust you. Isn't that what it says? We didn't trust you, and the enemy took me captive. He took my thoughts on the freight train. I got on the long black train. But God, I'm back. And I repent. And God says, welcome back. But now we got some things to work on. And so, God says, put on the praise. But I don't feel like it, God. I've just been thrown under the bus. Can't I just lay here and wallow a little bit in this? Come on. And God says, praise me. God says, just praise me. But God, I got to work on some things. And God says, just praise me. Oh, there should be excitement in here. This place should be alive. There should be shouting. There really should. Hallelujah. When God says, praise me. Because, and all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Psalms 95:1. Come, let us shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Is Jesus Christ the rock of your salvation?
Yes.
Are you shouting?
Yes.
Are you triumphant? Are you excited about it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, when the foundation's laid, and the foundation is Jesus Christ, that's the only way we come to God, is by Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Hallelujah. He's our foundation. There's not two ways. There's not three ways. There's not 20 ways. There's only one way. There's only one foundation, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the rock. He's the solid rock.
Amen.
Okay. You know, and once we lay the foundation, it's not like I come, I confess, I repent, I confess my sins, I receive forgiveness, and that's not the time to relax. That's not the time to relax. That's the time to build. That's the time to just go deeper with God. Be excited about God. Hallelujah. That's laying the foundation to rebuild the temple. You know, I was to a meeting last night. It was a drug awareness meeting. And there was people there that had been on drugs. They told about how their life had been wrecked. Some of their bodies was scarred. One girl she lost her toe because she was shooting heroin into her foot, and it cut off the blood circulation, and they had to amputate her toe. And they told about the devastation of addiction. And about the different types of addiction. About drugs, alcohol, many other addictions. But we know that Jesus Christ came to set us free. Hallelujah. And He loves everybody. No matter what people are doing, what they look like, God still loves them. Jesus died on the cross for every drug addict, every alcoholic, every prostitute, every whatever, He died on the cross for them. And if He loves them, we need to love them. And they told about the different things they tried. And they tried quitting, they tried this. They tried this drug, they tried that drug, they tried something else. And one person said, well, they got into it because they had wisdom teeth pulled and they had a prescription for this painkiller, and that was the beginning. And we know that the answer is Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
And we also know that that temple is in disarray and needs rebuilt. So as we go out and we see people in the world every day, and you don't have to look far before you can see people that have their temple's been tore down. And we need to love them into the kingdom. We need to get them planted on a firm foundation, Jesus Christ. And we need to come alongside of them to build that temple back where God wants it to be. With God, all things are possible. There is nothing too hard for our God. And God wants us to be free. He don't want us to be addicted to anything. Addiction is a curse. And Jesus became a curse when he hung on that tree. And we can be free from every curse. The power of sin is broken when we come to Jesus Christ. When we totally surrender to him, the power is broken. And he wants us to be free. Not only free to stay in that condition, but to be healed, to be whole, spirit, soul, and body. He wants us to be whole. Amen. How many is excited?
Yes.
How many is ready to go out into the world, into the marketplace, and tell people the good news?
Yes.
That they are worthy. They are worthy. Jesus thought they was worthy. He paid a great price. Worthy to be that temple of God that God has ordained for all of us. Amen. George, will you come and just close some prayer?
Father, as we just allow your word this morning to just sink into our hearts and our spirits, Father, I pray that you would just lift us up, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just give us that heart to go out and speak to those, Lord, who need you. Father, I pray that you would just lead us, guide us, strengthen us, Father. For, Lord, through you we can do all things. Father, I pray now that those be with us. Bless us as we get home, Father, keep our travel safe. Bring us back tonight, Lord God, to bring glory and honor and praise to you. Lord, may this week be the week that would change our hearts and our lives. And we begin to not only listen to the word, but to apply the word. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.